From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. The focus in this message is Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Its main emphasis is upon the church as the body of Christ. The spiritual depths of Ephesians are beyond human understanding, yet it is full of light and glory, demonstrating the victorious faith of the apostle, even though he was confined in a Roman dungeon. The epistle is full of some of Paul's favorite expressions, such as in Christ, accepted in the beloved, in heavenly places, and fullness. Dr. Cairns states the central theme of Ephesians as God's grace has formed and filled his church as his triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. Dr. Cairns will continue this overview of Ephesians under the title, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Full of Song. The text is Isaiah 55 and verse 12. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When sin is pardoned, our greatest sorrow is ended, and our truest pleasure begins. Such is the joy which the Lord bestows upon his reconciled ones, that it overflows and fills all nature with delight. The material world has latent music in it, and a renewed heart knows how to bring it out and make it vocal. Creation is the organ, and a gracious man finds out its keys, lays his hand thereon, and wakes the whole system of the universe to the harmony of praise. Mountains and hills and other great objects are, as it were, the bass of the chorus, while the trees of the wood and all things that have life take up the air of the melodious song. When God's word is made to prosper among us and souls are saved, then everything seems full of song. When we hear the confessions of young believers and the testimonies of well-instructed saints, we are made so happy that we must praise the Lord. And then it seems as if rocks and hills, woods and fields echoed our joyous notes and turned the world into an orchestra. Lord, lead me out into thy tuneful world, as rich in praise as a lark in full song.
Thank you.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel as it is presented by Christ to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
It is no small testimony to the power of the gospel that such an epistle, full of glory, full of the light of heaven, full of the smile of God, full of the joy of grace, full of the triumph of Calvary, their empty tomb and the throne of Christ, that such an epistle should have been written by a man in a Roman prison, standing in jeopardy of his life. You think of that. Writing from prison, Paul was not licking his wounds. Paul was not cast down into the depths of defeat. He was not frustrated. He did not feel in the slightest, to use the modern jargon, unfulfilled. He didn't imagine that somehow he had got almost to the finishing line of his race, but he hadn't quite gained the prize. None of that was in Paul's mind. Paul's faith was in the victorious Christ. For Paul's knowledge of the sovereignty of God let him understand that the God who gave him revival in Ephesus was the God who had him in a prison in Rome. And he was working it all out, as he says in the epistle we look at next week, God willing. All these things fell out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. And so here is the victory of grace. I want to tell you, my friend, when you are really in the hard passages of life, when you're really facing the difficulties of this life, there's only one thing that can truly give you joy. Only one thing that can truly give you peace. Only one thing that can make you more than a conqueror. And that is a personal knowledge of the grace of God. And a personal experience of the sovereign working of the God of glory in your life. All the theories in the world will do you no good. All the theologies in the world will do you no good. You may be the deepest red Calvinist the world has ever seen. You may have a deep and wonderful grip upon the great philosophy that lies behind that system, the deep theology that informs that system. But that will not bring you comfort. It is a personal knowledge of the grace of God in Jesus Christ that you need and I need. And only that will give you and me what Paul had at this time, the joy and the victory of the Savior in his soul. Because, you know, when you have suffered whatever you have to suffer in this world, it's a great comfort to realize it doesn't change God. It doesn't change the power of the blood of Christ. It doesn't change my relationship to God through Christ. It doesn't affect my eternal welfare. My standing is in Christ, accepted with God. And let hell rage in all its fury. Let the body dissolve into dust. Yet these are things that are unchangeably and unshakably true. Tell you, when the grace of God gets a grip of your heart, it enables you to face your circumstances in the light of the victory of Christ. It does not lead you into the deep frustration of so many people of allowing your circumstances to form your view of the gospel. So it was written by Paul in prison. No man, either in prison or out of it, ever expressed grander truths than these. Now, I really am only going to, at this stage, point your nose in various directions. When you're studying this book, there are pivotal gospel expressions you should pay particular attention to. Pay attention to the phrase "in Christ" or "in Him." In Christ. That's key to the whole epistle of the Ephesians and indeed the epistle of the Colossians. Then the phrase "accepted in the Beloved." You know, there's the key to the peace of God in the heart. Let that get a grip of your heart. Just enter into what that really means. I, as a believer, am accepted in God's beloved Son. You'll see the full meaning and the glorious joy of justification. Then it has that phrase, the heavenly places. Now, as I say, I'm only pointing your nose in the direction. I can't take time to try and expound these expressions this morning. In the heavenly places. it's a very full expression. But can I give you at least one very simple application? The heavenlies, that's the sphere of our Christian living. God's people are not meant to be an earthbound people. They're not meant to be tied to the passions and the defeats and the pursuits of this world. Oh, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the heavenlies in Christ. Then there is that expression that I will have to recur to later, the mystery. So much has been written and said about the mystery, that it's a mystery to me that people have ever been so crazy as to adopt some of the notions that have gained great currency. And then, of course, there is that expression I've already used, the unsearchable riches of Christ. What expressions? There are some outstanding texts. I'm going to leave you to go through every chapter. There are texts on just about every major aspect of the gospel, and they're all here in Ephesians. The book is marked by two great prayers. Chapter 1, I would advise you, if you want to learn to pray, I would advise you to learn those prayers off by heart. And pray them, and pray them carefully. Pray them prayerfully. Pray them syllable by syllable. Get on your knees and let God burn them into your heart. Those are two of the greatest prayers in all the Bible. In chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 3, starts the preamble to the prayer in verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are two great prayers that mark this epistle. Now, there are very simple outlines of the whole book. Great Chinese preacher Watchman Nee, entitled his studies in Ephesians, Sit, Walk, and Stand. That sums up the book very nicely. The first part, you've got the Christian sitting in Christ, resting in Christ. Chapter 2, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. Then chapter 4 and 5, we're told, walk. And then chapter 6, from verse 9 onwards, we're told, having done all, stand. Sit, walk, and stand. That's a very simple outline of the book. Another simple way of looking at it is the idea of our wealth. That's all the glorious things we have in Christ. Our wealth, the first three chapters. Then our walk, the next two chapters. And then finally, our warfare, the chapter 6, 9, through to the end. So there are many simple outlines. But remember, I only give you the outline to let you study it, for I'm not analyzing and going through the epistle like that today. I'm simply taking a great theme. What Paul really has is the burden of his heart. What he's talking about. And I want us to look at that. I've talked about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I've also said this is an epistle that speaks mainly about the church, though it does say a lot about the individual. It's in relation to the church, the body of Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Put all that together, and I think you'll find the theme of Ephesians is God's grace has formed and filled his church as his triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. Now, if you get that one sentence in your heart and in your head, you'll be able to see what the whole book is about. God has formed and filled by his grace, his church, as his triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. Now, in expounding that, I want to make three very simple statements. And I'll make them all up front, because time seems to run away from us in these mornings, and I end up having to, I amble through the first point and then I have to sprint through the last. So let me give you exactly where we're going. Number one, as we open this epistle, we find the church is exalted to heaven. That's the great truth of the opening chapters. God has exalted his church into the heavenlies. Second, the church is effective on earth. And then finally, in chapter 6, from verse 9, you will find the church is empowered over hell. The church is exalted to heaven, it's effective on earth, and it's empowered over hell. God's grace has formed and filled it as his triumphant witness to heaven, earth, and hell. Now let's start at the beginning then. The church of Jesus Christ is exalted to heaven. In chapter 1, we have been reading in verse 22 that God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There are various interpretations, but let's get to the very heart of the matter. The word fullness has the idea of a communicated fullness. And the truth is that Christ has communicated to his church his fullness. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. And Christ has communicated his fullness to his church. In other words, the church of Jesus Christ is not something separate from Christ. God never considers the church apart from Christ. He never considers the individual member of the church, the believer, apart from Christ. They are so one in the mind and purpose and plan of God, in the mysterious unity and union of grace. They are so one that Christ lives vitally in the church, and he communicates his fullness to it. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read that he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now here's a wonderful picture of what the church of Christ is. It is his body. What the church of Christ has, it has his fullness. And what the church of Christ is going to attain, he is going to shower upon us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus for all the ages that are to come. Now all this is planned and it's administered according to God's eternal counsel and with a view to his glory. And that's why in chapter 1 and right through, indeed, the opening three chapters, you have such tremendous statements about the Christian's exalted position in Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.